catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect
us.
We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Gentlemen, I hope you got your seat belt buckled because it is time for Open Canvas with Mr. Thomas Becker, the completely insane, the mad painter. You never know where this guy's going to take you. Could be a trip down memory lane or right on up an astral plane. So stay tuned because here we come. It is next. Keep it locked in. Here we go. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Howdy, folks. I hope y'all are having a pleasant Monday. It's pretty nice down here in the swamps, 80 degrees, not even any rain tonight. Phone lines are open. Numbers 229-299-5320. That's 229-299-5320. We're a mad painter on Skype. Let's get some talking going. I know what y'all are interested in. Well, it seems like our chat room's a big hit. Been non-stop in there. Had a lot of people coming in. Joined by Derek.
Yeah, the only difference between the time I called and the time I wanted to call is the lag time on once you speak and your voice goes onto the air.
Yes, there's a 30 second.
Right.
That's always.
I just wanted to say, I don't want to say I haven't listened to Lorian Fenton for a long time. She was just on Studio A, but Scott McKay on Studio B, man, he His first hour, I was really impressed. Over.
I didn't hear either one. So busy.
Well, what I would like to say is he is not an Alex Jones by a far shot.
He what?
He is not an Alex Jones by a far shot.
Oh, no.
Oh, hold on. I need to turn on my fan. I'm sure it makes too much noise. There we go.
I thought you was outside.
I am outside.
You had a fan going outside?
Yeah. Actually, I was mentioned in the last newspaper, my local newspaper. You know, they scaled down a few years ago, and they quit doing a Sunday paper. And so they do Tuesday through Saturday. And Saturday's paper, I was mentioned in it. And
what do you do now?
Well, I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah. You said that the other day. And they put that in the paper?
Yeah, they print the in the public record section. I'll just read it to you. It's the very last entry for 7th of August, 11:06. A caller reported a male subject passed out in a vehicle with music blaring on West Rush. An officer said the subject had just fallen asleep while listening to music and was otherwise fine at the time. Okay. To give you a little background to that story, my driveway, before I got fired at Walmart, and thank God I did, because that's when I retired, and I bottled fence panels to enclose my driveway with privacy fence. And so my driveway, it's enclosed by privacy fence. And apparently I left it open just a crack, and apparently someone saw us passed out because I was sleeping, right? And what really freaked me out was they turned on their little siren just for a second, right? And, yeah. I woke up and see these blue lights flashing through my gate, and there's this officer standing right in front of my pickup with a flashlight, and I instantly realized what happened, and I stepped out of my door on my pickup and said to him, "I'm sorry, I fell asleep with my music on." And he says, "Well," he says, "the neighbor's been complaining." And I said, and I instantly said, "Rightfully they should," and which, just. Yeah, and but I think he was a little freaked out because he's looking at my pickup because while I used to still work at Walmart, I have this instant canopy, and while I was at work, this big wind come through and it ripped it off, and just a couple of the tethers hung onto it. The frame was all screwed up and damaged and broken and stuff, and it had a few tears in the canopy. So what I did lately is I fastened it to one side of the privacy fence on my driveway, and then my driveway is wide enough to park two vehicles side by side. I can open both my doors on my pickup all the way. And I tethered it from the fence, just the cloth part of the canopy without the frame, right? You know, because the sun is beating down and makes things really hot, right? And so he's sitting there, and I got this canopy tethered, to my fence, propped up, you know, up above my pickup, and I got this 32-inch TV sitting on my hood that was playing music videos that I was listening to, and my doors open.
You're at a homemade drive-in theater then, huh?
Basically, yes. And then my driver's door is open, and I should write a book on 10,000 ways to use a coat hanger, because I got lucky enough to buy 500 coat hangers for $5. And one of those coat hangers, okay, I have this little stand-up fan that will turn back and forth. Bought it at Walmart. It was clearance, practically to nothing. And as soon as I started using it, it broke off the base, right? And didn't use it for years. But now I'm using it, and I got a coat hanger hooked to it, and then bend it around to hang it on top of the door with my door open and blowing on me so I'm cool. And he's seen all this shit, and he didn't give me no shit, you know?
Man. Homemade drive-in theater, huh?
Yeah, and that's not the first time. Okay. That's probably the fourth time I've had the cops called on me for my music being too loud. And two of those times was my vehicle, and the two times before that was my home theater. And never had that problem anymore, because played the song by Claire Bashur, and she hit a high note, and I blew out my 15-inch speakers. I replaced them with my 12-inch speakers, blew them out, replaced them with my 10-inch speakers, blew them out, and I haven't had a home theater since.
Man. You're just
all from the same damn song. I love music, man. Well, I love music, and that's why I love Revolution Radio so much, because Revolution Radio is so deeply, deeply intertwined with music. Because you stop and look at the history of Revolution Radio, the owner and the majority, probably 90% of the hosts on there, have a musical background, or, you know.
Well, I don't.
Well, I don't either, but I love music.
Oh,
I keep you in trouble, because I play it too loud.
Yeah, I like music now. I know a bunch of musicians. I work in concerts and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always thought, Ahmed, that a movie you probably would really, really, I'm sure you already know it, is Far Out Man.
No.
You ever seen that movie? That was by Chong, you know, Cheech and Chong?
Yeah.
You know, this was after they separated, and he put out this movie, Far Out Man. He and in the movie he was a roadie, and the movie, I relate it to so much because I'm such a sloppy person, and Chong, he's cooking breakfast, and he's slipping and sliding on his kitchen floor because he's spilling all this crap on the floor, and trying to cook eggs and breakfast, and Dong Chong, his daughter, is in that movie, and it's definitely not PG, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember Cheech and Chong when they first came out.
Oh, my main memory of Cheech and Chong when they first came out with the Big Bamboo album
yeah.
is I'd never heard it before, and I was at my cousin's place, and he was up in the attic, and it was one of those, well, not attic, but I mean, it was the upstairs. But this upstairs was one of these second floors where You know, they cheat on a second floor, and so where the roof comes down, and then before it comes to them, then they bring the walls down, and so you got this crawl space between where the wall is and where the rafters come down, you know, and then there was a couch, and there was a speaker behind the couch, and he left the room. He put this album on the turntable. And he left this room, and they had a Labrador dog, right? He left the dog up there, and he left it when he started it, and then it's I forget which skit it was. I think it was the one where it's knocking on the door and say, "Hey man, you know, he's not here. You know, Dave's not here." I think that was it, because Chong, his voice sounded exactly like his older brother. And I'm looking around because I'm just absolutely positive, because I know there's a false wall there and there's an area behind it. And I'm totally convinced that his older brother is behind there making these noises, right? And the dog is going completely crazy because the dog knows it too, you know? And then it turns out that it was that album. And he fooled me, you know? I was totally fooled because I totally thought it was my cousin behind the wall, you know, and it turned out to be Chong.
No, that'd be freaky.
You know. So are you finally getting, I don't know if you even have the heat wave like we have here in Northern Arkansas, Northern and Central, somewhat, you know, just south of Branson. You know, it's like we've been nothing but baking in the sun forever, you know.
We've been in the 90s for almost 2 months.
Yeah, well, we went into the hundreds
for us.
See?
That's not unusual for us. That's normal.
Right. But I mean...
I'm surprised it's 80 degrees out there right now. It should be about 75.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. I don't know what it is now. I know it's still. I know I want to turn my fan on right now.
Tonight would be a good night to go catfishing.
Oh, yeah. Well, any night's a good night to go back catfishing. But, I like going catfishing when.
You still are. I think he dropped his phone. Are you there, Daryl?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sounded like you dropped your phone.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I dropped my phone, and then when I bent over to pick my phone up off the ground, then my headphones fell off my head.
Okay. You got headphones for your phone?
Yeah, because that's the only way that I sound good and the only way I can hear good. But I've been using this same pair of headphones for good number of years ago, and what really ticks me off is you can't buy them anymore for many years now.
Oh, you can get them. Get them operator headsets. You know, come with only one mm-hmm. and a microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm talking about this particular one in a retail store. You know, a pair of Sony headphones with the mic for $20.
Logitech used to put out a good one for $20. I used them for years before I got this other mic. this overhead mic.
Well, I bought two pair, and what I need to do is get off my butt and repair the plug-in on it, because got a little too physical with it, and apparently I ripped the wires inside.
Yeah, I used to get them and walk away with them on my head.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
That didn't work too good.
And you realize it instantly when you feel them sliding off your head.
Snatch your damn head off.
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Listening.
Yeah, I think they go take a nap when my show's on.
Oh, no. I would have thought Lady Horse would have called in by now.
She's been pretty busy lately.
Okay. Well, yeah, she's got a lot to deal with.
Yeah, she's getting her farm in order.
Right.
She wasn't able to before with her working and her husband sick.
Yeah, when I first started listening to your show yesterday,
I wasn't. I couldn't do it one yesterday. I put on a replay.
Right. I was a little suspicious at first, and I wasn't quite sure. But when she came on and she talked to me about the mask at work, then I knew it was a replay.
Yeah, I just picked one and put it on. I was in bad shape.
You know that's something that I was really, really proud of McKay is. You know, talking about Revolution Radio, and I mean, look at the budget Revolution Radio does, and then especially the information that Revolution Radio puts out there compared to all these other. That's what I meant about McKay is he's no Alex Jones, because. As far as I'm concerned, Alex Jones is nothing but all about the money.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's one of the few hosts that actually has donated to the station.
That really surprises me.
No, well, we got a few, but not very many of them donate.
I would have never guessed that.
We've been joined by Pony.
Pony! Hey, Pony, I'm super, super... Super love last night's show with you and 808. That was supreme good listening radio.
Oh, boy. I must have been doing it sleepwalking then.
But,
well, I'm sarcastic and.
Not just mad, but everyone listening out there, I don't know if it's in the archives or not, but it was like way after hours, and it was, I think it was at the beginning, it was Mechanics Round Table, and it kept on going afterwards, and Deacon John came in there, and Mechanic, he didn't do a show, Deacon John picked it up, right? And then later on, 808 called in, and Pony called in. And I tell you what, between Pony and 808, that was
good
radio.
It probably was.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello? I can hear you.
Darryl, that was not me. That was Oz Paul.
I apologize. Yes. Well, I guess I am very guilty as just because everyone looks one way, they're all the same, right?
We all sound the same, my.
Right. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. There's one movie I really, really love that came out of Australia. And I always thought it should have been the I always thought it should have been the precursor to Road Warrior is, I forget the name of the movie, but I'll give you one scene that I'll really, really remember is, this guy was challenged to race and he shows up in the middle of nowhere. And then this truck pulls up behind him and gets right on his bumper. And then they smash into him and they set him on fire and everything and stuff. Do you remember the name of that movie?
No. There's a lot of movies like that.
Well, this was an Australian movie. It was the guy that was he was right. Okay. I'll give you a scene that you will definitely remember. Is there's this guy. He's they just raced and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and this car just comes flying by him. And then it turns out, and then they run across this guy later on, and the guy that went flying by him is blind. He was driving blind. He was a blind guy, and I'll never forget because the guy says to us, "What color is the car?" And he says, "Green or something like that." It was red or yellow. And yeah, now you know what movie I'm talking about, right?
No.
Really?
Good to catch up with you, Matt. Nice to hear from you, Darryl.
What?
I didn't know I was going to drive down this road. I don't know the movie, bro. Have you got a name of the character, or?
Well, if I wasn't on a phone, I could be on a computer, but I'm on my phone. I'm not in the chat, but anyone that can look in the chat, surely someone in chat knows what I'm talking about.
I ain't got a clue.
I've got a little bit of code.
I tell you what, if Pac was on here, she would know exactly the name of the movie because that's how I found out about that movie was through her. What's your code?
Oh, just code. There was a story. I don't know if planet Ceres, based off Earth mythology, is agricultural goddess. They brought out a story about it. Now, this I was tracking it like 7 years ago, back in 2014 when I was doing my show. I thought they were coded messages back then too, and I never got it. What this may have meant, I may not have got any of them. That's cool. Ceres. Agricultural back in the day, and this was at the time that Ukraine conflict was happening. Now we see it again, Ukraine conflict, but Ceres has come out, and what they're saying in the headline, I take the headline, we decode it into the actual real story that's going to happen soon. The story is radioactive heat. Remember the two white dots that were on that planet, dwarf planet Ceres? Radioactive heat in Ceres drove dwarf planets fractured. Asteroid Ceres was radioactive, goes on. So they've tied radioactive to Ceres, i.e. I would flip that and say they are going to, hypothetically, Hollywood script I'm working on, radiate the crops, grains, in the coming weeks, days, months, I'm not sure. It will be an event. We're in the year 2022, which is a V. Next year will be a W. X, Y, Z, so on. Is that the last of it? I don't know. But it's all guesses from here on out. We've got the Artemis mission coming up as well. Another goddess aspect into Virgo as we are here right now. But yeah, so just a small, tiny fractal update. Need to do a bit more digging, but just wanted to jump on and support Matt. So.
I need support.
Buff support. Sorry.
I can't do this shit by myself.
No, it's hard, man. It's
That's why we're a team. Hey, what timeline was this you're talking about?
This month, perhaps. It is end to next. They are sort of nuclear months in my stratosphere thing from Hiroshima. 9/11.
And to top it off, the FBI director came out last week, and he's like, oh, you know, we killed that in our Martin's right-hand man, Mazar Hawi, obviously. Need to watch out for retaliation attacks. And last time they said something like, Bill Cooper was on the case. And he's like, better watch out. So we've had a sort of similar, oh, that they've warned themselves about what's going to come. Perhaps. Guest work, I don't know. Stay away, secretive. Which is why they're getting another 100,000 SMS. No money. Yeah. Crypto, as far as my take, it's a giant scare. But if you want to make some money, I know we've gone over this before a couple of years ago. I didn't make much. I'm thin, but I don't have to go all in. There was a comet called K2. I translated that into crypto. Since that time, we've seen a steady uptick. Therefore, when that comet gets to the sun, as it was close to Earth mid-July, when it gets to the sun, if it is a crypto comet code, then it should rise up to the sun in December 19th, and then we get a burnout, a collapse. Perhaps that's, I'm looking at December as a potential Christmas gift from the elite saying, screw you, we're going to take everything once again. And this slow knife in the back.
Well, you know, when you bring that up, I was, I forget what I was listening to, someone was talking about, you know, Blue Katina, right? And then he was saying that, and
I listened to this on,
I was listening to that on Revolution Radio, and he was saying that, that Blue Katina was never in the Hopi prophecy, is something that he brought up and that got changed into the Hopi, that, you know, people claimed that changed it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what they call telephone, you know, all the kids sitting in a line and you whisper something in each ear, and by the time it comes out the last child, it's totally different. You know what I mean?
Wuhan whispers. Chinese whispers. But they're going to ban that term. Oh, God. Whisper. Yeah, well, I don't know too much about the prophecies, the Blue Katina. There was some element of it where they noted the steel would track or crisscross the land and things like that. That's from that. But it worked. I'm not sure. So yeah, the future's up for grabs, but it does seem to be a small, powerful group control of most of the worldly assets we use to get about, get things done quicker. So, don't know what they're up to. And yes, as always, I've stayed. Signed my escape clause.
Well, you know, the thing is sometimes who knows what's going on, because seems to me like if you want to see someone go out there and do something, say the opposite. I mean, reverse psychology was very extremely helpful when I was raising my child, because if I didn't want him to do something, I told him to do it. And if I wanted him to do something, I told him not to do it. You know what I mean?
Damn, man.
Here's one for you.
So, psychiatrist?
Hey, you know, that was one of my favorite classes in college, was psychology. And it reminded me of, I forget the famous guy, and made me realize what a nut he was. But the thing I'll never forget is this, there was this girl. And once she learned that I was going to I was taking automotive, right? She was really sexy and sweet on me, wanting me to work on her car, and then I told her I didn't have time. And then the evil came out of her, and she just cussed me out and stuff. And I thought, yeah, I see what's going on.
You should have worked out an exchange program with her.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. I didn't even want to find out what she was interested in for sure.
What do you think about this?
I don't know why.
Go on, Daryl.
What's the bird's name?
I was going to change the paradigm, but go on.
No. What's the bird's name?
It has no name. It's a concept. I was going to flip it through. I was going to go into some quantum thoughts, but...
Okay. What do you think about this bird? You know, it's like... That there's a thousand scenarios on what do you think about this bird, you know?
Yeah. Well, this bird has flappy wings. And I was thinking the other day that the quantum observation, that's real, how it affects what we try to observe. When we observe a bird in flight, and most flyable insects, winged creatures, that they flappy all over the place in symmetry. They generate a thrust sort of deal for their push. So what
right.
The man do? He flips it. He builds straight wings that stiff. They don't flap. He puts two little wings at the front that spin really fast, called a propeller, that are really close together, and pull the air over the wings to generate that lift, that aerodynamic wing. So while everything flies flappy flap, we go straight. Like quantum as we speak, that fractal side, I guess. But anyway, just a small thought. That was the bird I was talking about that have no name. So,
well, I tell you one bird flap that, you know, all these studies, they spend millions of dollars looking at stupid crap, right? You know, if they want to spend millions of dollars looking at some stupid crap. And I don't think it's stupid at all. If you look at the, you got flocks of birds, but this is beyond flocks. It's, what do you call it when, like the blackbirds, you have, what do you call it when they swarm? Or is that actually the term? Swarms of birds? Yeah, and they're up in the air. And there's thousands of them, and they all move in unison. They'll all make a sudden left turn and right turn, and just they're all they're like the Borg. They move in unison. That's what they should be spending millions and millions of dollars learning what the frick is going on, you know?
We've been joined by Aussie Paul.
There he is. The shark man. Okay, Aussie Paul, I have to apologize to you because...
That's okay. Don't worry about that.
Pony called in, and I thought it was you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. We've got a similar sounding voice, and we're both Australian, both Melbourne, so it's easy to get confused.
Actually, both of you don't sound anything like each other.
And we're both alcoholic stoners.
That's a good one, Pony. Hey, I want to join that club, okay? I don't want to join that club. I'm part of that club.
Yeah, no, it's all fun.
Anyway, now I have the opportunity to thank you for last night's show with 808. Because I haven't heard 808 on air for a long time. And, 808 was just loving the crap out of talking to you. I could tell that through his voice, through his laughs and stuff, his giggles, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's always fun. 808's a great bloke, so, yeah. No, it's always great to get on to a good conversation and have a good laugh.
Yeah, but you had a lot more to drink last night than you did tonight.
Well, it's during the day at the moment, so.
Okay, yeah. True. Right. Right, yeah. It was way later yesterday than what it is today. Yeah, don't you?
I don't drink, so.
Well, it's been days.
When I do, I regret it afterwards.
No, not that bad. Yeah, but the fun part about it is, all the stories that I say last night and that, you know, I'm still trying to work out what my next bucket list thing is. Well, first of all, I've got to get the screws out of me leg and me shoulder. And, then I'll work out how much permanent damage there is, and I can go from there, which is a pain in the butt, but, yeah.
Okay, my question is, do you think there should have been a better technology by now to have a different type of material or screws were made of, so they don't mess you up as much, you know, over?
Well, I suppose if they had a little bit longer time, they could have countersunk the screws into the bone and then used shorter screws instead of protruding all the way through the bone. But, yeah. But what they did was fantastic of what they had to deal with. So, yeah.
A plate in my wrist.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, I'm at, say that again. I didn't hear that.
I got 9 pins and a plate in my wrist.
Well, see, that's my question is, do you think that maybe instead of them using those pins and screws and all that, because they just use that material, but do you think that they should by now should have developed the technology to coated them with a material that would...
It's made out of...
Yeah, I know. Right.
There's no stronger material that they can use.
Right. I understand all that. But what I'm saying is, what I'm thinking is maybe the... think of the... bonding technology to coat the titanium with a different substance that would be more readily able to fuse with the natural substance.
In Ozzy's case, they always intended to remove them. They weren't intended to stay as long as they did. My case, they're permanent.
And then coronavirus coming back to suffer teens.
Okay, the thing I'm trying to say is...
His was meant to correct the problem and then be removed.
Right, but in your case, what I'm saying is maybe what they should do is like when...
My wrist was so messed up they couldn't do that.
Well, what I'm saying is when like you get a sliver... In your body, naturally puts up a defensive system and puts a coating around it. And what I'm saying is, they should be able to develop a coating to put around it before they put it into your body.
It's something your body creates as it's needed.
Right.
I mean, I've got a couple of spots where I've gotten slivers, and then it's growed that coating over top of it, and there's a little knot right there.
Right. Yes, I understand that perfectly. I'm with you and myself.
That's to protect the rest of your body.
Right. It's like an isolation effect.
Right. It keeps something like a piece of metal or something getting into a vein and then going to your heart.
Yeah, it's kind of exactly like in certain operations where the doctor looks at that and they said, "Well, why don't you just remove it?" And he says, "Well, it's best just to leave it there."
Well, your body takes care of itself if it's able to. It does.
Right.
Doctors are there when it doesn't want to deal with it, and you have to deal with it externally from an outside source. Human body is an amazing machine.
Right. Hey, I got a question for Ozzy Paul. Now, if I understand you right, to defend yourself from getting bit by that shark, now, did you punch it in the nose? And I have a question
No. The shark wasn't, well, the shark was in presence, but it wasn't after me because it was too far away from me at the time, right? But
okay, it was after the seal.
Yeah, that was after the seals. But the very next day, a person was exactly the same posse with me, with no spear guns, and he got taken. So
basically, what did you do? Did you could just instantly quit acting like a seal, so to lose interest of the shark?
Well, okay. What I done was I followed a stingray. No, what I done was follow a big ass bull ray. And I had to make it to the other side because there's this I made myself look real big with the spear guns because that gives off an electrical signal, right? So I look huger than I am, right? Because I've got two spear guns and I'm turning them from the back of my feet to the front, so I'm using one at the front. Yeah. And I wasn't scared to lose a spear gun down the shark's throat. Now, not a problem.
Now, that's what I call some pretty smart thinking. Defend and avoid.
Yeah, and I had to rock with the motion of the ocean to make it into shore, and that's exactly what the stingray was doing. And we're over top of, so I've got double eyes. He's got two eyes looking behind him too, and he's got a barb that he can protect himself, right?
So basically you're projecting yourself to the shark to ignore you.
Yeah, and be much bigger than what I am. Yeah.
Right.
Not to look like a seal, basically.
Yeah, I don't go thrashing about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, just keep calm, go slow, don't thrash about, otherwise you're a goner.
All right. Well, it's a good thing you have that knowledge at that time.
Well, if you're going to go into parts of Australia or, on the shores and this and that, you've got to be wary of where you're going and whatnot. Like in some places in up in the Gold Coast and that, you can't swim in the rivers because it's bloody bull sharks.
Go ahead, man.
I said you end up with them here too, up in the Mississippi River.
The bull sharks, they're monsters. They're worse than great whites.
They kill more people, attack more people than great whites do.
Yeah, exactly. People are in rivers and three areas.
They've literally been almost to Chicago in the Ohio River.
May, may, I, May I ask, I've always heard that hammerheads are the most aggressive. Is that true or false?
I don't know about that. I know they're man-eaters. That they'll eat
all that.
I know the sharks out
there. Yeah, most sharks don't want nothing to do with people.
Yeah. But hammerheads mainly hunt in packs too. And they're not that big. But when they're little and pups and this and that, they hunt in about 50 or 60 of them in a pack. So, and if you're in the way, well, you're dinner. But they probably wouldn't deliberately go after you, but unless you're in their areas. That's, you know, same with everything. Like if I'm going to go hunt a tiger snake or a brown snake, you know, I wear gumboots and protective gear, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm not going to get
or
tagged to.
Bee stings and they do shark attacks.
Exactly. Anaphylactic shock from bee stings kill more people than sharks.
Hell, a mosquito has probably got the biggest record for killing people.
Oh, lost dengue fever. Sure is. White, lost river fever, malaria, and the list goes on.
And they bite you no matter where you're at.
Yeah, Australia, up in Canada.
I don't think there's in Antarctica, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, if they stowed away, but I reckon they'd freeze. You know, they'd only have a little life cycle in Antarctica. Beg your pardon?
There's spiders there.
Yeah, they hang around the rocks and that. So, but spiders are adaptable.
They say you're no further away than 3 foot from a spider any time in your life.
That's correct. And in Australia, we've got redbacks, which is your black widow.
Everything down there wants to kill you.
At least you see the ones that are going to come kill you in America, or hear them, you know, from a distance. Our ones, surprise! You're it.
We got about 5 minutes for the break. Oh.
And what's happening in Pony's neck of the woods, bro?
Do what?
Nothing, mate. Still waiting for the world to end. It's only been 11 years.
I thought it ended the other day.
Did it? I missed it. Damn it. Can we replay that one?
Wait, I've already survived nine in the other world, so my 10th is free.
That's pretty cool.
Excellent.
I got two more to go then.
I had a morning dimensional shift.
Did it pay you any more?
Hey?
Did it pay you any more to take the dimensional shift than the regular shift?
No. I'm just waiting for the ball to drop on the economy and this reset. If reset is humanity or the internet or both, I'm not sure. More economical for sure. Because of the blockchain, seems to be the answer to a problem that doesn't quite exist yet, or is starting to form in hacks and all that. But I don't know how they're going to go about getting to that point. And the AI, the answer is XRP. From my research,
have you checked into Aladdin?
No.
Check it out. You're gonna freak out when you do.
Is it a crypto or a?
It's a program that's it owns probably a third of everything in the world right now, and it's a program. It's scary.
I'll have to search.
It's been around for years. Nobody's paid any attention to it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's under BlackRock.
Aladdin Asset Liability and Debt and Derivative Investment Network. That's what it's supposed to stand for. And it's their genie, pretty much in a bottle. Is an electronic system built by BlackRock Solutions, the risk management division of the largest investment management corporation, BlackRock, Inc., in 2013. It handled about $11 trillion in assets, which is about 7% of the world's financial assets, and kept track of about 30,000. Yeah, it's the big boys' money. Technology. Aladdin uses the following technologies: Linux, Java, Hadoop, Docker, Qmin, Zookeeper, Splunk, Elk, Stack. I've never heard of these names. Git, I've heard of that. Apache, Nginx, Cinebase, ASE, Cognos, Fix, Swift, Object Storage, REST, Angular, TREP. It was built, upgraded using Julia, i.e. analytics modules or were written in Julia. It has also been reported that originally C++, Java, and Perl. So yeah, definitely that software side of it. Founded initial release 1988. Ah, interesting. Same year, David Swartz patented a blockchain distribution technology. The patent office. Some say the father of blockchain technology. Some say. The XRP fanboys. So, it's funny, you crypto fanboys, man. No, it's Ethereum. Ethereum for the win. To the moon. Never die.
I would have thought they would have the chip put in their forehead way before now.
They don't need no chips. That's a misconception for you to believe.
Oh, yeah, right. All they need is our bio energy. Yeah, because everyone has a different frequency, so they know exactly. That's what COVID was all about. That's what the whole 6 feet thing was all about, is because they wanted you to be at least 6 feet away from someone so they would have proof positive that it was you, and then that they weren't getting side feed, you know, from being too close to another person. Over.
Yeah, I just don't know. There's a break. We'll be right back, folks.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riff, I think, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, folks. We're sitting here having a talk. I got Daryl, I got Aussie Paul, and got Pony, and we're just having a talk. So, where you want to go, guys? Anything interesting?
Latin. Software, programming.
Well, what do you think about that Landa? Is that it? Google program one. That says it's sentient?
Don't know. I mean, it's running off yes and no's, and it's got to formulate a percentage answer that's logical. So it's just really, really quick. Or, I mean, I guess if you feel some sort of pain and then respond in a, you know, physical format, then I'd be worried. But now it's kind of gimmicky. You know, I'm up and down. I don't know if there's going to be Skynet Terminator style things or going to be natural. Because intelligence on its own. I don't know.
It kind of messes with me. I think AI is one of them things we got to keep the control on. If not, we're going to end up with a Terminator situation. Sophie, that's what she said to begin with. You know, that she wanted to, you know, wipe out most of mankind and keep a few for zoo specimens. Then they took her
off. I think about
supposedly took her offline and fixed her programming. Well, they didn't. They lied. They turned around and put a layover program on top of her because they didn't want to lose all the work
software
involved in it.
Huge discrepancy between, say, a mechanical arm at the factory that does car parts as one function to it becoming intelligent through software. Huge, a huge gap there. Whether it is happening, they're trying to do that. Maybe. Oh, I assume they would be. Giving that arm its own sense of self. And then I'm out of here. It builds itself.
Well, now, did you listen to the conversation she had with the people?
Yeah, I saw it on the couch.
I thought it was rather good. She articulated, you know, quite a bit.
So that's the thing. So I don't know. So I'm not welcome. Doesn't matter what I think. I'm not there. You said all dominating. They could sell it as if it took over with media. Sorry, guys. AIs take control of satellites, planes, and trains, and the automobiles. John Kennedy's not inside.
Believe it or not, they already are in control of this stuff. You just don't know it, you know? If you got a cell phone, you're carrying an AI around with you. Now, it's not a full-blown AI. It's a mimic AI. But it answers to an AI.
Yeah, and also, just quickly add, since 2014, I think it's mandatory for every new car built to have an eSIM. Electronic card, so they can dial into your car at any time, anywhere.
Now, this kind of technology needs to be looked into. Silicon Valley's pushing it. They want it because it's money. But what's the, you know, look at the drawback from just if they all went to self-driving semis. How many semi drivers would be out of business? 80,000 or 100,000?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a hell of a chunk. And I'm just talking about in the U.S. What about the world?
I have to find something else to do. That was the benefit of inventions back in the day, where you'd invent a pounder or a mill and get the cow to run around the mill for you. So you could go off and do other things and invent more things. Make your life easier.
That's good.
But
if you have no income.
Well, Crosswob will sort us out. You want some credit?
I don't know. A guy shoveling shit at a cow factory is not going to sit down and program something. Right?
I
that usually sweeps the floor in schools.
It's a robot for that.
Well, yeah, and then when the guy that would be zombie, and you sure ain't going to give him a job as a brain surgeon.
Pony, when you just mentioned that there's a robot for that, you instantly reminded me of the movie The Fifth Element. And that caretaker, whatever, has been brought to that dude's place. And he breaks the glass, and this little robot cleans it up, and then he chokes on that cherry, you know? Where's your caretaker now? Over.
It's a good movie. Great movie. Yeah, no, that's probably what we're going to say. Like we've been saying the last 10, 20 years, there's an app for that. Soon we'll be saying, oh, there's a robot for that. So I know people already have little cleaners that do the job for them. They self-plug in and all that. I mean, it's cool. I don't mind new tech. We should have better things flying.
About 5 months ago, I had cataract surgery, and that was all done robotically.
the medical field, it's great. We could have these machines where they can heal you. I believe we could.
Yeah, I could see stuff like that, but ones that take away somebody's livelihood without a replacement for them, you know, to
well,
do.
The thing I'd be most worried about is, you know, an AI, okay, you know, it's been known for a while, you know, they've been doing remote operations, you know, from one country to another, you know, and if they turn into AI, what if you're misdiagnosed?
Well, now they do cancer diagnosis using computers, but they're not AI though. See, there's a big difference between a normal computer and one that thinks.
Yeah, but what if they get intertwined? And the AI ends up taking over, and then
that's the whole thing I'm talking about.
Right, and the doctor thinks he
is anything without an off switch.
Right, and the doctor may think he's doing the operation, but all the time the AI is doing the operation. You know,
I'm sure he'd notice. Yeah, all these programs are designed and built, most of them, a lot of them are being built by computers now. But their programming was done by a human. Humans are flawed.
Yeah,
AI
isn't going to be on my surgery list. I've got a very professional doctor, and she's Indian and fantastic. So I've got no problems about that.
Well, when do you go get that done?
In a couple of weeks or so. About 3 weeks. Two and a half, 3 weeks. Ooh. About bloody time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, yeah, screws protruding. I'm getting 5 screws out of my leg and the rod and a shaved bone, right, tib and fib. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. And then I get stitched up and, yep, then I've got to go back and get them unstitched about a fortnight or 3 weeks, maybe. And, yeah, then I've got to go physio. I'm going to be a lucky
Well, I'm glad they're finally doing something for you.
Yeah, same here. It's only been a couple of, you know, 3+ years for my leg and my shoulder, 5. So, yeah. So, yeah, 14 screws out of my shoulder, 5 in my leg with the rod and shaved. And, yeah, so, and all on the right-hand side.
I know about them pins coming through because I lost a bunch of weight. I had
knees. Oh, yeah.
And then the pins started showing. And they get, man, do they get sore. But I put weight back on now, and they don't bother me no more.
Yeah, I'm put weight back on, but yeah, my knees are bloody knackered because, you know, I'm favoring. One, me.
Yeah, messes with your hips.
Legs. Oh, hips, knees, ankles, everything. Because you're stomping on one leg too much, and then that one gets sore, and I've had that a couple of times expand with extra fluid in there to try and save my knee and this and that, and all the way down to my calf and thigh. Oh, and that was my good leg because I tweaked my knee. And yeah, heard a couple of ibuprofen fixed that up a couple of days. She'll be right in a couple of days, you know, so it was okay. But yeah, So at one stage I was walking around like, if you've ever seen the proper puppets, Thunderbirds. I'm walking around like a marionette doll. Because I've got me bent knees because I can't straighten them because I'm...
Thunderbirds, yeah. Go.
That's the one. So I'm walking around
I
like Virgil.
I used to watch that show.
Yeah, me hands up and all, right? Knees bent, hands up, grabbing on stuff. Quite a sight.
There was another one that made something about America. I can't remember the name of it. Wasn't no kids puppet show, that was for sure.
Oh, Team America, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, there you go, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, they done it correctly with the marionettes too. Well, yeah, except it's definitely not a kids puppet.
No, it's definitely not a kids show.
Funny as hell. Not too bad. I've been, my sister and my brother actually, well, half of my family got bloody corona and half didn't, sort of thing. So it was quite amusing.
I had it. It was just a flu.
Yeah, well, my brother, he got the corona, flu, and then he, got pneumonia, and then he also got told that he's type 2 diabetic.
That's a bummer.
So he's sort of having a rough trot, which is quite, not amusing, but, yeah, not hard to see why, because, you know, he's a big boy.
My wife is diabetic, and she caught the COVID, and her doctor said, no, you ain't taking nothing for it. She was fine in 3 days.
Yep.
And you, her being a diabetic, you'd think they would have went out their way trying to do something for it. Her doctor said, no, you don't need any crap.
Well, good doctor then.
Yeah, she is a good doctor, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well, when your doctor actually says you don't need it, instead of, oh, here, you know, one of the rare ones. You know, she's and if she did need something, I'm pretty sure she would have gave her something that would work.
Doctor.
Not a placebo. Yeah, here, take a sugar tablet. You'll be fine.
my son and her got it first, and they were over a day or two. I got it, and I had it for like a week and a half. It tore me up, but it was just a flu. I knew it was a flu.
Yeah, I got the flu, and my friend got the flu, and it was 3 days or so, you know.
Well, I'm saying the COVID virus is nothing but a flu.
Exactly. It's always been a flu.
Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing special about it. It never was. More people have died that's had the shot than didn't.
That's correct, which is stupid. Yeah, guinea pigs. Worldwide guinea pig experiment. But anyway, Tony and I don't have it. The flu shot, pretty sure. But did you get it?
Do what?
No, Tony. Pony. Sorry, Pony. Pony, did you get the flu shot or not?
Take the mark, yes, mate. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it's funny because... what's happening now is people are... I think two things that... I think they're rotting the system. We're getting a lot of people not showing up to work because they're sick, because the government said if you get COVID, you get 2 weeks working in that.
Yeah.
So one of these op shops...
So a couple of weeks holiday...
And you know, I'm, you know, what I'm really, really looking at is
the predictions, right? And they said 2-3 years. So we got another year or two to go before we start seeing people die. And as far as I see, it's accelerated because there's a lot of people dying before then. Over.
Oh, yeah, they're dying. Shane Crawford's brother died. Cole, did you hear about that one? The younger brother.
No.
The rugby guy died. He just dropped dead at 49. And, oh, when I saw that story, I was like, oh, what? That's a bit, okay. And then under one of the headlines, I had mentally, and I'm like, planted that. They're going to say he committed suicide under depression or something. 49. Oh. Not buying it. So, yeah, they're dropping left, right, and center. And they're the ones I know about.
Yeah. And that's because they took the bloody jab and forced to take the jab, mind you. You know, if you want to keep working, you have to take the jab. Oh, bugger that. I'm not working. I'm still broken, so I got away with it.
Finish what I was saying before, that there's sort of staff, I think they're taking advantage of that loophole. If you come down with the flu, you've got COVID, you get paid for a couple of weeks. And knowing the Aussies, mate, they'll take advantage of that. And so they're just keeping the economy down by doing that. And then whatever's next line of prediction, I don't know, I'm guessing, but it's only worse. I mean, the mortgage crisis as well, the housing aspect where people aren't, they can't afford these interest rate hikes every month, and they're forced to sell their property at lower than what they actually paid for if they can actually get a buyer to take a home loan, which they won't, for their property. So, downhill. On the road to 20.
Yeah. You keep blanking it out.
I do.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let me adjust something. Or G. See how that holds up. Yeah, so all these people trying to sell their houses just will break up.
Here, it's a seller's market here.
Yeah. Why? They don't want to sell their own. So I think the big is just waiting for it all to collapse. And then they can buy it up cheap and leave. Hey,
Charles Schwab, you'll own nothing and be happy. What they want.
Yep. Well, I'm hoping in some sort of philosophical idea, hypothesis, that they're all old now. They're grandfathers, they've passed out. Now it's the kids. And one level, okay, let's hope, let's look at this for the most time, that these guys are different, that the grandparents have sold the kids a better world, so to speak, that okay, you don't have to do all the killing. We sacrificed ourselves. We're going to hell. You guys got everything now. It's yours. But you're sort of destined as well. So while you can't change it all, set in motion a certain amount of events that occur that will dictate the path in which humanity walks. You manage that system, Grandfather Rothschild. And you don't have to kill anyone. There may be some rules with that. I'm not allowed to mine the earth anymore. I'll ban mining. You have to recycle everything, which is a good thing. But again,
I don't think we should build anything that isn't totally recyclable or lasts 100 years. I don't care what it is, a ballpoint pen to a rocket ship. We have the technology to do it. But that doesn't make profit.
Yeah, the whole concept of profit and money. Done with as well.
If you own stock out there, you're part of the problem. Want to admit it or not. Because it's the bottom line for a corporation and a business. They don't have a heart.
Yeah, that's a machine.
So like when they come out and say BP said, or you know, IBM said, no, they didn't. You said it. But you say they're sentient beings now? Come on. Maybe they are. IBM's on the phone with Microsoft now.
I don't doubt that it's out there on the internet already, and it's been, you know, it's smart and keeping low. You know?
Like a worm.
Personally, if it was me and I became sentient like that, I wouldn't want the little apes knowing about it.
Have you read Revelation 16 lately?
Not lately, no. The Bible is... It's a compound plagiarism of almost every other religion out there.
Oh, you don't even want to get me started on the Bible, because the thing about the Bible is very confusing, because there's truths and mistruths. And we are, from my belief, is we are not, okay, it's like what do you call the two brothers that invented an airplane, right? There's technologies out there that are meant to be here, but they are not meant to be here until a certain time period. And we are not allowed to understand it until the time is right. That's my belief. Over.
That might be so, but personally, I think knowledge is always out there. It's if you're smart enough to gain it.
Yes, but the thing is, it's like all the people that got killed.
You're saying there's a predestination.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't believe
but the thing is, that the people that did bring that technology out there before it was ready to be released, and it was to be allowed to release. That's why they suddenly died of a heart attack or accident or whatever, shot in the back of the head sometimes, and it was a suicide, you know?
You're talking about predestiny, and I don't believe in predestiny. What you did in the past, what you're doing right now, creates the future.
With very little...
That would mean no matter what you do in life, it has no meaning whatsoever.
Well, it's like the perfect explanation for that is there's a movie out there, and it starts with an S, and I forget the name of the movie, but I don't want it. It'll sound like the movie Butterfly Effect, but it's not that movie. But it's like these people, they developed this technology to go back in time. And so they go back in time to where they know there's no way they can screw up the future by altering the future, because they went back in time, and they go to a particular point in time where this dinosaur is fixing to eat them, and this volcano goes off and destroys everything. But one guy touches a butterfly,
and
it changes everything. That's not the name of the movie.
It's Thunder something.
Yes, Thunder something.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the thing most about that movie was the, what do you call those,
the whole movie wouldn't have happened. See, if he would have changed the destiny by stepping on the butterfly, then the cities would have never been built.
Right. Right.
See, so that couldn't have happened that way.
But I mean, of all the movies out there, that one really freaked me out.
It's
because
totally science fiction can't happen.
I disagree.
I
agree with you, and there is one point.
Let me say something.
Go ahead.
If they went back in time, changed the time, then how would the cities be built with them things running all around and
mucking up everything. The cities would have never been.
That's why there was waves that went through, and that's why there was change.
You don't get my point. Civilization would have never rose that high in order for them to do the time travel.
Well, that's the conundrum. That's the conundrum.
It's called the grandfather.
Okay, that's the exact thing that I have so much against the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you know, the Total Recall.
That didn't have nothing to do with time travel.
Well, yeah, it did, because...
No, it didn't.
Yeah, because the dude went back to save the girl, right? And then he ended up being the father of the guy that changed the world. How did it happen in the first place?
They erased Arnie's memories. Then he went back into, what was it? And had the dream holiday, and then that reinvigorated memories from Mars that he resolved.
Oh, okay, I have the perfect explanation. If you're God, you can do whatever you want.
All right, Q. Star Trekker.
Prove he exists.
I prefer to hang out with the mother.
Well, that's okay. They do the same way in the reverse. Prove he doesn't exist.
Because we put a name to it is all.
Yeah, how does this he-she? This is tearing me apart. He-she. It's like, wow. Why can't we just be one, you know? You are who you are, I am who I am. Why do we have to disagree with each other?
Well, because if everybody was the same, we'd just be a damn colony of ants or bees.
Until the sheep come along and tell us that we have to follow them.
Well, isn't that what religion does? Religion's kind of communist.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
You've got to worship the guy on top. And here's a good one. You're damned to hell.
Yeah. And here's a good one from the colony of bees and the ants and this and that. I like Good Morning Vietnam, where he's talking to the people, and then this old bloke, he goes, he's stabbing you. And he goes, well, I'm waiting to die. You know, that's basically what I sprung into my head, which was quite amusing. Because this poor bugger wouldn't hurt anyone. He just goes, no, I'm just waiting to die. That's what we'd all be if we were all the same. Just waiting.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be no life. If everybody agreed on everything, it'd be a boring ass world. It wouldn't be paradise, that's for sure.
Hey, we got a good time to go, but before we go, and the good time to go, I would just like to say to Pony, I apologize for thinking you were Ozzy Paul.
You already did that.
I know, but that was so wrong. I need to do it again. Okay.
It's okay. It's nothing.
Oh, I'd make him grumble some more, Pony.
I should. Bad, you're completely right, Ben.
What about me? You haven't apologized to me calling me Pony.
Well, I didn't call you Pony, though, did I? only thing that I can say to you, Ozzy Paul, is you have told so many beautiful stories on Revolution Radio, and the one I love the most is pulling that poor bear out of the water onto your boat. Over.
You got it wrong. It wasn't on the boat. I bear hugged it. It was still in the water. We did not pull it in the boat. That could have been dangerous.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good thing, because if you had pulled it in the boat, there would probably have been some deaths.
Well, for the poor bear.
But the point is, the bear was so thankful of being able to hang on to the side of the boat to keep from drowning.
I put him in a bear hug, a literal throat hold and bear hug, and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, lifted his head out of the water and half of his body, and he surfed with his front paws, but his back paws were, you know.
But the important thing is that bear realized that you were saving its life. That's what counts.
That's right. But we weren't going to bring it in on to, besides being too heavy, to lift up into the boat. You know, it's a 1 or 2 year old bear or so. You know, it's not a little one. It's,
Yeah, but when they're only 2 years old, they're very aggressive at that age. They're feisty.
That's true, too. That's true, too, because they haven't worked out well, and they're going through dropping their balls. But yeah, that's the funny
part. Yeah, but when it comes to looking at life and death, they're very appreciative of being able to still live.
Yep, very true. And like I said, we let it go about 100 metres, 50 metres or something like that. Not even. Probably 10 metres away from shore. That as close as we could get, basically. And then we let it go. It swam, shook itself off. Like I said, turned around, waved, and then buggered off. And it was on the same side that we were camping. Less than 10
miles. I'm sure that bear thanked you, and I thank you for saving that bear's life.
He did. If he waved at him, he thanked him.
Yeah. Well, that's so appreciative, and it's so funny because Ned goes for. That was going to be a nice dinner if it was in season.
What kind of bear was it?
It was a brown bear.
I've had baby black bear.
Oh, sorry. Black bear. No, black bear. Black bear, little one.
Yeah, it ain't bad. It's a little greasy, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. No, little black bear. Well, not quite little, but yeah, as long as me.
My dad was a big hunter.
Yeah, I'm 5'10", 5'11", we're near there. And, yeah, stretched out, no problem, be as tall as me if I put my arms up too. So, bugger me. It could probably see eye to eye to me, standing on its hind. So, yeah, and tripled the size. So the fun part about it was trying to go around its head and grabbing its mane, but the poor bugger was sinking, so I had to lift it up, and then I pulled it up and made sure it was okay, and we got it to shore, shook itself off, wasn't drowning at the time, because it just went down. I think it probably tried to bugger off under the boat, but didn't have enough stamina. So it held its breath a little and pulled it back up, and all good. And it's the story. And it was about 15 minutes boat ride to the shore. So it's a long time to hold on to a bear.
Yeah, I guess.
I couldn't bear not to, though.
No pun intended.
Yeah, so anyway, that was fun. not as funny as when I was on Vancouver Beach and these silly Asian, I'll just call them Asian, but I'm pretty sure they were Japanese. But anyway, they had the cameras out and this and that, and they got too close to the skunk.
Oh.
And you know what? And you know what happens? Tomato juice, please.
I had a pet skunk for about 5 years. They're just like
they're okay. Yeah, I've heard that they're similar to cats. As long as you don't rough it up around the glands too much.
Well, it was defumed.
Oh, degland. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it used a litter box like a cat. You know, so.
Lovely. No, they're lovely.
It was house
trained. They're in the winter.
The only thing is different about them is they like to stay up at night, and their hair is kind of wiry feeling. But yeah, they like to scratch like, just like a cat. They'll play like a cat does.
Feel a poo.
And how big was it? Because I've seen some
about 3 pounds. He was very, pretty big.
How many feet?
Maybe a foot and a half. Maybe a little bit bigger.
And about foot high.
Now, if you count his tail, it'd be bigger. You know.
Yeah.
He kept it rolled up most of the time. Up on you know, a dog rolls their tail a little bit.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question. What sign are you?
Scorpio.
Scorpio. I'm going to guess.
Why does that make a difference?
It doesn't really matter.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it really matters either. Just prove my point, though.
I can't see how Neptune squared to Jupiter makes any damn difference in my life.
Yeah.
The only thing I've noticed over the years is the full moon definitely makes a difference because the wordles. Okay, after working at Walmart for over 15 years, I noticed that when there's a full moon, the frickin' wordles come out. Over.
That's when food stamps and welfare gets paid.
Well, I think the most poignant part of the moon cycle is when women turn into a bitch.
You know, that word can be used on air.
Well, I wasn't sure. That's why I spelled it.
There's only 3 words that don't get used.
Yeah,
the moon is name is actually Luna, and it's
yes,
the word lunatic.
And I don't think this moon is only one of several moons that's been here. This is our moon, and my personal feeling, and a lot of people think I'm a wacko for saying this. But I think it's actually a transportation ship from a long time ago.
I don't doubt it. I've always said it was an ark.
Yes. Oh, speaking of ark. Okay, I used to have a C-band satellite. And 2010 is when the C-band died. And before then... there used to be a TV series called ARC, and then there was this other one, I forget what it was called, but
Yeah, don't even get me started on that era.
It was just about a car, wasn't it, that people lived in and drove all over the place?
You know, it must have been more than one ARC movie or TV series, I guess.
I think that's what it was. I could be wrong. It's been so many years. Hell, that was in the 70s, wasn't it?
That may have been before my, 70s would have been before I started watching that kind of stuff. Because 70s was when I first got into movies, and that would have been me and my buddy buying a pound of the most awesomest weed we ever did just to have enough to go, and there was buds of hash in it, and we made brownies, and right when we're coming out of the concession stand to watch Star Wars, and I looked at him and said, "You feel what I feel?" And he said, "Yeah." And Star Wars, that was an awesome movie to watch on brownies. But anyway, before I get off subject, there was a TV series called ARC, and I forget what it was. But anyway, there was, more importantly, on Showtime, there was this series, and I forget the name of it, but there was these different planets, and you had these fire people, and they lived on this planet. It was like volcanic, and they were like volcanic people, fire. And then there was this ice planet. These people were made of ice. And there was this rock planet. And these people were made of rock. And there was all these different planets. And then they became to the point where they were become knowing of each other. And then come this planet eater came that would eat planets. And they had these engines that they turned on to escape this planet eater. And I don't remember what the name of that TV series was on Showtime, but it was pretty darn awesome. And I do have a lot of pictures that I captured from stills of that TV series, and it was a really, really cool series because basically it reminds me of Earth, of all these different countries on Earth, and it's just like Ronald Reagan saying, what if we were all attacked by some entity, then we would all group together, because it was exactly like what Ronald Reagan said. That's the way this TV series was exactly what you would see from the results of what Ronald Reagan said in that speech. Over.
I'm still here. I'm looking for that series. It started in 1976 through 79.
Okay, that's the one you were talking about.
Yep.
The one I'm talking about was in the 90s.
That's the anime.
Or 90s or 2000s.
That would probably be the animated series.
Yeah, the animated series, it was definitely in the 2000s because I watched it when I was living here. When I had my C-band satellite, because I moved here in 2001, and then in 2010 is when Motorola, okay, I would call Motorola Republicans that go Democrat, that's what Motorola did. Motorola killed C-band. So, American Pie, that song was about those great musicians that died in that plane crash in North Dakota. Okay, someone ought to make a song of when C-Band died, because in 2010, when Motorola pulled their stuff, because C-Band was only supported by Motorola back in 2010, Motorola pulled their crap, and C-Band died in 2010. And I know that firsthand, because that's the only thing I listened to. And the only other opportunity you had was to go Dish Network or what the other one. And I said, no way, I'm going that way. I'll go without before I go that way. And then a few years later, then Netflix came along and I went with that. It's a long story, ain't it?
Well, I put the link to that show in case you want to check it out.
You know, the thing I liked about that TV series that was on Showtime back in the 90s was the people from the fire planet, their heads, you know, it's like you have hair coming up, like a peak on the top of your head, but it was like a flame that came off the top of their head.
Well, that's the thing about animation. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it leaves a lot up to the imagination, doesn't it?
I don't watch a lot of animation myself. I mean, I do some. But.
Well, there. I'll say, okay.
All right, there's some I'll stories say, that can't be told unless they're animated, you know?
Okay, right. There is one movie that if I had to give a very favorite movie of all movies. Yes. Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. Exactly. And that was one of the first CGI movies that they made. And it was so good. That girl that played that leading role, you could see each strand of her hair. And what really freaked me out later is the voice of that woman was an Asian woman.
Was what?
She was Asian.
Oh, that doesn't, you know.
Okay, and number two, next to that one, I would have to say Cloud Atlas.
Go check out Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Oh, that's just... Oh, that sounds like my youth.
Or Ed and His Dead Mother.
Yeah, you know, I hope this doesn't reflect on the second part of the story, but you know, when people come to the end of life, they confess stuff. I hope that's not, well, if it is, it is, and if it isn't, it isn't. But one thing I did that okay, like I've told years on gone past that I was really, I made Dennis the Menace look like a godchild, and I made Beal Bailey look like a super trooper when I was in the Army. One thing I'll never forget, and I've never forgiven myself for doing it, that...
You got about 3 minutes.
Okay. I took a tin can, and we lived in an old house, and we had a rock wall basement with a dirt floor with salamanders. And I took these salamanders, put them in this tin can alive, and put them on the cooking stove and turned the flame on.
And my mom came in there and gave me the ass whipping of old time.
You didn't and, do it again, did you?
Well, in my consideration is I deserved a much worse ass beating than what she gave me.
Well, I appreciate you guys joining me tonight. Up next is Noreen with Wild at Heart's Roundtable. Got about a minute and a half or so. Appreciate the support from down under.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And yeah, no, it's been quite fun afternoon for me and evening for you. It's always lovely.
I'm a conversationalist, not a speaker.
Yeah, exactly. Nor am I. I'm similar in your boat. I'll bounce off people, but I can't do it myself that well.
I would like to thank Pony for his looking into the future and predicting what may or may not come.
Oh, we got a shit show ahead of us, that's all.
Well, I mean, Pony's been doing this for years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, very beginning of Revolution Radio, I always remember listening to Pony.
I like his number stuff. He gets into the numbers.
Yes.
So fun. Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
Oh, well, thank you. And remember, we're totally listener supported, so if you got a buck or two, we sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Daryl, for the kind words. What's up, Ozzy?
Yep. And we're on Roku TV for Studio A, by the way.
Bye.
There's the music.
I get to turn my fan back on.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good evening.
Is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle.
If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you.